This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Beth Voorhees. The Martinsburg City Council is considering an ordinance that would prohibit discrimination based on sexual orientation or gender identity in both housing and employment. The state of West Virginia does not provide these protections to the LGBT community, although lawmakers have introduced bills for several years that would do so. Because of the lack of support at the state level, members of Fairness West Virginia, an LGBT rights group, have spent the past year or so calling on cities to pass these protections. Liz McCormick reports at the Martinsburg meeting last night, members of the community were heavily divided.
So we'll be moving forward to petitions from citizens for the non-discriminatory ordinance.
The Martinsburg City Council chamber was packed last night. Martinsburg and other Eastern Panhandle citizens came out to either listen or speak regarding the chamber's proposed non-discrimination draft ordinance. If approved, the ordinance would prohibit any business or landlord in the city from discriminating against someone because they are gay, bisexual, or transgender. Petitions lasted for 2 hours. The speakers were almost evenly divided, with 21 in support and 24 against.
The law already protects them. This ordinance is come to try and give them a privileged elite status that goes above and beyond the protections that the individuals in this community have. I hope that you can see that with the federal government already making its ruling, that they already have equal protection from any business owner discriminating against them, that this ordinance is redundant, unnecessary, and abusive to those who would be trapped in legal problems.
If you have any question of whether or not we are still discriminated against, all you have to do is listen to some of the comments in this room.
Amen.
Well, I was sitting there, but just the comments under people's breath when a gentleman said earlier that he had a friend who wanted to move out of Martinsburg, all I heard was good. That's discrimination. That's why I'm here. That's why we're here.
The scriptures, both Old and New Testament, have not changed. And they tell us that the behaviors that we're talking about are an abomination to God.
Amen.
And that won't change. And to be foisted upon us the thought that we hate and that we are unfair because we have a belief in the true and the living God is totally uncalled for. There's no hatred in my heart. There's no hatred in the heart of most of the people who are here.
And unless you're a member of the gay community, I don't see how you can possibly judge what discrimination they face. You have no business walking in here and telling these people what they face. You don't know.
As a member of a minority group myself, I'm opposed to being put into categories. Everyone's individual rights should be protective. It should not be selective. We, members of the minority, do not need to be separated and given special treatment. We are capable of finding employment, housing, and taking care of ourselves without special support from the government. I find it insulting what this ordinance is implying.
We're hearing a lot of stuff about religion and bringing that into it. I'm a believer, but that should have nothing to do with this. This is about equality. This is about not being able to say, hey, you're fired because you feel you love someone, or you can't live in a house because of that.
I truly believe that this ordinance can be written to take into account our churches and our religious leaders and take into account their rights so that they are not discriminated against when we pass and when we draft this ordinance.
Republican delegates John Overington and Michael Folk also spoke against the ordinance. After deliberation, council members voted in favor of drafting the non-discrimination ordinance, but say they will take both sides' concerns into account. The draft ordinance will be made public in 30 to 60 days. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Liz McCormick in Martinsburg.
Every student in Wetzel County schools will get free meals this fall. The county is citing a federal law called the Healthy Hunger-Free Kids Act of 2010. This program allows qualifying high-need school districts to offer free breakfast and lunch to all students, regardless of their economic eligibility. The Wetzel County Board of Education voted to implement the program. The costs associated with it come from local monies, not state or federal funding. Amanda McPherson, Director of Child Nutrition in Wetzel County, says without the support of voters of the school levy, it would have been impossible to financially provide these free meals to all Wetzel County students. This is West Virginia Morning at 7:49. Some scattered rain and thunderstorms this morning, clearing to partly cloudy skies this afternoon. Temperatures will be in the 80s today. Mostly clear overnight with lows in the 50s and 60s. Mostly sunny on Friday with highs in the 80s.
Support for West Virginia Public Broadcasting is provided by the West Virginia Division of Rehabilitation Services, enabling and empowering workers with disabilities to meet business workforce needs. Employer services at wvdrs.org.
As governors from across the country gathered at the Greenbrier over the weekend, many issues came to the forefront: workforce development, infrastructure funding, and federal education standards among them. There was one issue, though, that no state could say they have solved or they have an answer for, and that's the growing number of overdose deaths in the country due to opioid addiction. Ashton Mara has more.
You know, we all worry about national security. We worry about ISIS and terrorism and cybersecurity, but the enemy within the nation is the addiction issues of our population and how it's running lives.
Mary Fallon is the governor of Oklahoma. An energy state much like West Virginia, Oklahoma is flush with oil and natural gas and is one of the top producers of the resources in the country. Another similarity between the two states, Oklahoma is seeing a rise in overdose deaths, reaching a record 864 overdoses in 2014. But West Virginia and Oklahoma are not alone.
Well, we've got a tremendous problem all across the country, and Kentucky's no exception.
Steve Beshear is the governor of neighboring Kentucky, a state also struggling with what he and his fellow governors call a national opioid epidemic. In 2014, Kentucky reported nearly 1,000 overdoses. Deaths, more than half of which were due to prescription narcotics and heroin.
In the year 2012, there are 259 million prescriptions for opioids.
Dr. Deborah Horry is the director of the National Center for Injury Prevention and Control at the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention.
To put that in perspective, that's enough for every single U.S. adult to have their own bottle of pills.
Horry spoke to a group of governors during the annual summer meeting of the National Governors Association held this year in White Sulphur Springs. She says as the number of prescriptions for narcotics rose between 1999 and 2012, the number of overdose deaths also grew by four times. Now, in more than 30 states, overdose deaths outnumber deaths from car crashes. Connecticut's Governor Daniel Malloy.
Think how much money we spend making our roads safe, whether it's snow removal or writing tickets or having troopers on the streets or local police. We do everything we can to prevent those. We're now seeing increases of deaths as a result primarily of opioid and heroin abuse. And we've just got to step up our game.
A report this year from the nonprofit groups Trust for Americans Health and the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation said West Virginia had the highest rate of overdose deaths in the country, about 34 for every 100,000 people. Governor Tomlin has taken steps to reduce those numbers, following programs other states have seen success with. Across the country, states have relied on drug take-back days when law enforcement officers collect unused prescriptions for disposal. They've passed Good Samaritan laws, granting immunity to someone for certain drug crimes if they stay with an overdose patient and cooperate with emergency responders. And many states have expanded access to naloxone, a drug that reverses the effects of an overdose and can save a person's life. West Virginia has approved all of these measures. So, what's next? In Kentucky, Bashir says they've implemented a mandatory electronic reporting system for prescribers to prevent doctor shopping for painkillers.
Now every doctor, before they write that prescription in Kentucky, has to plug that information into the system, and they can tell if that person has just been prescribed a drug someplace else.
Connecticut's Malloy says his state has also started using a similar program, teaming up with other New England states to combat doctor shopping as a region. That regional approach is something Bashir backs as well.
We've got to coordinate all of those efforts with all of our states eventually to keep people from going across state lines and just taking advantage in a state where you're not sharing that information.
Governor Tomlin says he's working with Kentucky on a number of projects to combat substance abuse. That state has recently started needle exchange programs. West Virginia is looking to pilot a similar program next month in Cabell County near the state's borders. But help is also coming from the federal level. U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Secretary Sylvia Matthews-Burwell announced $100 million in additional grants for community health centers coming this year. Health centers will be able to apply for the funding in the coming weeks to treat addiction, and some 300 awards will be announced this winter, possibly bringing some of those federal dollars to West Virginia.
This is money that will make a difference in your states, so let's do it together.
Dr. Horry with the CDC says her organization is also working with states and boards of medicine to come up with standard prescribing guidelines for doctors who may be either over or under prescribing painkillers.
It's difficult when you're on that front line and somebody's asking you for that prescription to say no, and I think we really need to help empower doctors through safe prescribing guidelines and through protections through the state medical board to say no when it's not appropriate to give that opioid and have that difficult conversation with a patient.
Horry says her agency is working with 16 states to write those guidelines and hopes to have them available for doctors across the country soon. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Ashton Mara in White Sulphur Springs.
Police say an Ohio County man has admitted to having grown marijuana on his property for about 40 years. The Intelligencer and Wheeling News Register reports that 66-year-old Ronald Tominac of Tridelphia was arrested Monday and charged with possession with intent to deliver marijuana. Authorities say a state police airplane spotted what appeared to be marijuana plants growing on Tominac's property. After the plane landed, investigators say they found 9 marijuana plants growing near the property. Police say Tominac told them that he was well-versed in growing the plant and had been doing so for about 40 years. Bridgeport's City Council is seeking a federal narcotics investigation unit for the Northern District of West Virginia. The Exponent Telegram in Clarksburg reports that the council unanimously approved a resolution this week asking the U.S. Drug Enforcement Administration to assign a tactical diversion squad to the region. Councilman and former DEA agent Lowell Maxey says the unit would focus on prescription drugs. That would give the Greater Harrison County Drug and Violent Crimes Task Force more time to investigate other drugs, such as heroin, cocaine, and methamphetamine. Bridgeport Mayor Bob Greer says he plans to talk to other Northern West Virginia mayors about adopting similar resolutions during a West Virginia Municipal League conference next week. Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. Keep up with all the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from Shepherd University, West Virginia University, Marshall University, and Concord University. Our producer is Ashton Mara. Our director is Teresa Wills. I'm Beth Voorhees.